Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm going to be joined by Coach David Fizdale, Hall of Famer Jackie McMullen in just a bit. Coming up, Jimmy Butler is also going to join me to talk about reaching the finals last season, Bam Adebayo's extension, and of course, coffee. You know we're going to talk about coffee. Before all of that, though, we are starting The Jump with some breaking news. Our senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, reporting that Paul George and the Clippers have agreed to add 4 years to his contract. An extension worth up to $190 million. This comes just a week after Paul said he wanted to retire as a Clipper. So now to discuss this further, the man who broke the story, Woj, welcome back to The Jump. How did this extension come about?
Well, Rachel, this was, you know, really from the time that the Clippers made the trade with Oklahoma City, you know, at the start of free agency a year ago, getting that trade in place with Oklahoma City was really the final key to getting that commitment from Kawhi Leonard. I think there was an expectation, you know, that Paul George wanted to be there long term. And this was a pretty easy contract for both sides. He got certainly, you know, the max contract that he could get. He's committed now for 5 years, you know, $226 million potentially, can have that player option in 2024-25. But this was for Paul George, a chance to come home to Southern California, a Clipper organization that's been built around he and Kawhi Leonard. And so I think it was a pretty easy one for the Clippers and Aaron Mintz and Paul George to lock this up. I think they started to talk about the mechanics of the contract here in the past week once the Clippers got through free agency and the draft.
Yeah, and look, if we think back to 2014, where Paul was after that horrible leg injury, people wondering if it was the end of his career. If you look at the amount of, I believe it's what, up to, depending on what contracts end up being worth, up to $290 million that he has signed since then, it's pretty remarkable that he has been able to build out that second half of his career like that, and also shed some light, Woj, on the Clippers and how much they gave up for Paul George. If they are now getting him through this extension as well, it's not that he, quote, could leave after this season. You brought up Kawhi Leonard, though, because he is still in that position where he has an option to leave after this upcoming season. Does Paul's extension mean anything for Kawhi's future with the franchise?
Well, it certainly, from the Clippers' perspective, makes it a lot easier to not have both players going in to the possibility of free agency. But having Paul George locked in, you know, now for Kawhi Leonard, listen, this was a plan that he was a part of. And listen, last season didn't end. The playoffs didn't go the way they wanted them to go. And certainly there's a lot on Kawhi Leonard and Paul George with the new head coach and Ty Lue to get this figured out and to have a team that certainly at least gets to the Western Conference Finals and a potential showdown with the Lakers. They have ground to make up on the Lakers. There's no question about that. But there's been no indication that Kawhi Leonard has, you know, really any doubts about the decision to be with the Clippers, you know, how they're moving forward. Again, just like Paul George, this is home for him. But certainly, like, there had to be changes with this Clippers team. You've seen that this offseason with them. But by all appearances, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard have remained in lockstep. But things change in the NBA. If you're the Clippers, you want to have a season where they maximize their group and leave no doubt. But you know, as you know, until you get a player signed, he isn't signed. But I think just getting this Paul George deal done takes a great deal of pressure off of the Clippers. And as you said, Rachel, they gave up so much to Oklahoma City. This is a player that, you know, they had to get locked down long term, and they've done that now.
Yeah, you make up a great point. Things change in the NBA, which leads me to my next question, because I want to check in with you on the James Harden saga. If you think about where we were in training camp a year ago compared to now, it is remarkable how quickly things change. Where do things stand on any potential trades for James Harden and the Rockets?
Rachel, I think the Rockets continue to want to try to slow play trade talks the best they can. You know, they're not certainly in a rush to go out and find a deal and put one together that might leave them, you know, ultimately short of getting the kind of massive haul that you've got to get for a player like James Harden to let a market develop, let teams' interest develop over time, and get him back on the court in Houston, get him on the floor with John Wall, see if you can get John Wall back to all-star form, and see if there's any momentum you can get back with the Rockets is, you know, as we've talked about, he still has 2 years left on his deal. They don't have to rush their way into a trade. But listen, it's going to continue to be at the forefront of conversations all over the league. It is a lot of pressure on an organization. It is a lot of distraction, especially with a new GM, a new head coach. This thing doesn't go away. You get asked about it every day. That tension is there every day. It's not easy to move forward like this for an organization, but if they're gonna slow play it, if they're gonna figure out how to get the best possible deal, it's something that the Rockets are gonna have to learn to live with.
So fascinating to watch that develop. All right, the very nattily dressed Adrian Wojnarowski, thank you so much for joining us. Woj, we will see you soon.
Thanks, Rach.
All right, with that, I'd like to bring in our resident coach, David Fizdale, our Hall of Famer, Jackie McMullen. Welcome, friends. And Coach, I'll start with you. What's your reaction to the news of this big extension for PG?
I'm going to call him for a loan. That's a great deal for him. I'm really happy for him. You know, nothing better for a guy in his hometown to get a big contract and for a team to show how much they really want to. Obviously, I thought the Clippers should and had to do this because they gave up a lot, right? Gilchrist Alexander is one of the best young players in the league. Gallinari, a ton of picks. And so this has to work out. And I think they're showing how invested they are by taking this step forward. And look, let's not get it wrong. Paul George is a baller. He's a two-way player. He's a guy that's got the potential to make all-league teams. I think it's a good investment on the Clippers' part by showing this. I think now the big step is going to be Kawhi Leonard taking it to another level and showing why he had to have his guy in Clipperland. You know, I think that because Kawhi demanded, he wanted him there. And so I think Kawhi now has to step up and show why he wanted him there. And now they got to go out and get a championship done.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, David. This was a package deal when they came, right? So Kawhi and Paul George wanted to play together. Paul George has now said, all right, I'm here for the long haul. And I'm sure he's hoping, and the Clippers are hoping, that Kawhi follows suit. You had to get this done, and I know there's a lot of unhappy Clipper fans that are looking at Paul George's playoff results and saying, are you kidding me? Why are you paying this guy all this money? But I think Steve Ballmer and the Clippers are smart to take the longer view of Paul George's career. He did have a tough postseason, as did most of the Clippers, and I think his Game 7 sticks in everybody's craw still. But remember, he was coming off double shoulder surgery. We heard him speak of his struggles inside the bubble with the mental health aspect of that, which I do not think we should diminish in any way, shape, or form. So what this tells me is the Clippers are not overreacting to their early exit in the playoffs. They have a new coach. They're going to restart. They have new players. And they're going to go forward with these two guys and hope they can lock Kawhi up as well.
That double shoulder surgery point, Jackie, I think is so important here because obviously that wasn't affecting him per se in the playoffs in the bubble. But he didn't really have an offseason, and he didn't even start the season last year with the team. So this year he's had, it's short, but he has had an offseason. And, hey, it's longer than if they had advanced further in the playoffs. So he had that. Had an offseason. You know, I've been told that he's been getting back to a lot of the training and things that he did before he had that season that put him in the top five MVP voting back in Oklahoma City. So we'll have to see if this is a bet that is going to be a smart bet. But so clearly the Clippers think so. And look, you do have Kawhi Leonard, player option after this upcoming season. Jackie, do you think Kawhi will commit to the Clippers, especially after this PG noise?
It seems to me he would, Rachel, but I have given up trying to guess what goes on inside Kawhi Leonard's head. I'll be honest. And I do think we should point one other thing up for the cynics that I heard from shortly after this news broke, and that is Paul George asked to be traded out of the Pacers, asked to be traded from OKC. So he has locked up and says he wants to, you know, remain there for the remainder of his career. But in his past two places, he has requested a trade. Nothing's ever certain in the NBA.
Hey, you know, yeah, and you know what? Right now, after, you know, with this nice contract, and then I think his comments about how Doc used him, I think it puts a lot on his shoulders now to Clipper fans that he's got to come and answer the bell, especially with the way they exited. So the package deal of those two guys, I think they have to have an elevated source of responsibility, and they have to step up to collectively put their team in a chance for a championship.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. All right, guys, coming up, we got so much on this show today. Jimmy Butler is going to join me to talk about lessons learned from last season, who he thinks the favorite should be in the Eastern Conference, and Big Face Coffee. Yeah, you knew that was happening. Jimmy Buckets up next. Stick around. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. At this time, I'd like to welcome in our next guest. He led the Heat to the NBA Finals in his first year at Miami. Five-time All-Star Jimmy Butler, welcome to The Jump.
Thank you for having me once again.
Larger than life, my friend. This is how you are after that NBA Finals appearance. Yeah. I want to take you back to the bubble for a minute. Before the playoffs even started, you and I sat down, and you told me you were going to the NBA Finals. Not a lot of people agreed with you, but you had total certainty. It obviously paid off. What is the biggest lesson you learned from all of that and that whole experience?
The group that we had were very capable of making it to the finals and competing. I think that those group of guys realized what we could do, and I'm hoping that the group that we have now realize it too. I definitely miss the guys that we had, but I'm grateful for the guys that we brought in.
So, Jimmy, fill in the blank for me here. The Miami Heat get back to the NBA Finals if blank.
If we do what we're supposed to do, play together, not listen to everybody on the outside, which I preach every single day. We're not worried about them. Let's lock in on us and play our best version of basketball that we can. We'll get back there and we know what to do.
How do you notice the confidence you have in these guys spreading to them so that they believe the way you believe?
I just got to tell them every day, show them that I'm so appreciative of them, the work that they put in. I have all the confidence in the world in these guys. I do. I'm going to continue to give it to them. Confidence is what those guys need, and that's what I'm here for. And then I'll just, you know, get in where I fit in.
Well, you're backing it up. That image of you slumped over the stanchion in the NBA Finals, just giving every ounce of yourself. There's not much time for you and the Heat to recover from those moments from that Finals. Training camp's already underway. Your first regular season game is in less than 2 weeks. How do you feel about the short turnaround time and how it's going to affect you guys?
I think everybody's going to be a little bit tired. You know, we're at the same disadvantage everybody else is at. And like I always say, nobody cares. Nobody's picking us anyway. So tired or not tired, we still got a job to do. We still got to go out there and prove that we can compete with the best of them. We'll be okay.
Have you noticed that no one's picking you? Has that caught your attention, Jimmy Butler?
Oh, I don't have to look at I don't have to look at any media outlet to know that. You got some really good players that are much better than I am coming back. KD, Kyrie, Steph, Kat. You know, a lot of guys that was out are coming back. So I'd pick those guys over me too.
Wait, you would pick those guys over you? Or if you were in the media, you would pick those guys? Or are you currently picking those guys over you?
Those guys over me. Yes, I would.
So if I'm betting, I should bet against you? I always thought that was dangerous.
Do you want to win or you want to lose? That's up to you.
Well, our staff noticed that you liked a post on Instagram from Bleacher Report that said James Harden has added the Heat and Bucks to his list of preferred trade destinations.
I liked that.
What did you like about that post, Jimmy?
I like his hairstyle.
That's it?
His player. Like little dreads, some braids. The beard looks well nourished. I like the post.
What do you think of the idea that James Harden might want to come to Miami?
There's a lot of stuff always in the media. I think that he's a hell of a player. I like the group that we have. To tell you the truth, I just want the guy to be happy. I think that's what life is about. That's what the game is about. And yeah, so what? I like the post.
So on that tip, you know what it's like to be in that situation. You wanted to trade out of Minnesota a few years ago. We all know what mm-hmm. happened next. Have you gotten any flashbacks when you've been hearing about what's going on with James and the Rockets?
Nope, no flashbacks for me. I'm where I want to be. That's behind me. That's the past. I'm here. I'm locked in on the Miami Heat right now. I'm telling you, I like James. He's a friend of mine. I just want him to be happy. I do.
Well, let's talk about your Heat teammates then. Fellow All-Star Bam Adebayo just rewarded with that cash, that max extension this past offseason.
Well deserved.
Did you give Bam any advice when he was going through the process or after he signed the deal?
No, just look, man, you know where you want to be. You know that we need you because you're the engine. You're the key. You've won us so many games, and if we're healthy, I mean, who's to say that we wouldn't have beat the Lakers in the finals? We'll never know now, but hopefully we get a rematch at that. But I'm so glad that he got that bag. He deserved it. He's worked so hard each and every day, and he's always making everybody around him better.
Well, Jimmy, I cannot end this interview without asking about the bubble's most successful business, Big Face Coffee. You told me before we left Orlando you wanted to make this a real thing out in the world. I heard you got a special delivery today. Tell us what's going on.
Today, I got my first little batch of beans. Me, my trainer, James Scott, and one of my hometown guys, Chase Bartlett. We've been putting in a little bit of work. You know, obviously this on-court thing is most important. My singing career got that, dancing career got that. Coffee's next. So we're gonna put that in motion.
I love it. And do you have a Big Face Coffee stand set up at the arena there at training camp? And if so, is it still $20 a pop for your teammates?
I think the price is being talked about. We don't know. But I think if we got to get a model, so I'm thinking Goran is going to be our first model for Big Face Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll take it from there. But it's in motion, and I think that it's going to be a big thing.
Wait, is Goran going to have to walk a runway to show off the Big Face Coffee styles? How's it going to work?
Yeah. We're not paying him a damn thing either, but he's going to walk it for free, and he's going to love doing it.
I know you, Jimmy. I know you're going to be able to make it all work. Thank you so much for joining us. Our eyes will be on you this season for sure.
I appreciate you.
Coming up, Giannis says he is not focused on his contract extension with Milwaukee. Do we trust the Bucks as a team to overcome any distractions that come their way? We'll discuss that after the break. Welcome back to The Jump. I got Jackie Mack and David Fizdale rejoining me here. And guys, Giannis spoke to the media yesterday, and when asked about his contract extension with the Bucks, he said, I'm not focused on it. In fact, take a listen. Here's some more of his remarks.
I'm not that focused on that, and not that I don't care about it. Obviously, I care about it. It's a very big decision in my life, probably one of the biggest decisions I'm going to make. But I just let my agent to focus on that, and I'm going to focus on, like, getting ready on Saturday to play the first preseason game.
When you're talking about how it's really not in your hands, it's kind of hard for us to figure that out. Like, what is it that you need to see to kind of decide whether or not you want to sign the extension in Milwaukee?
Let me go back a little bit. You said whatever I ask the Bucks, they're gonna say yes to.
Yes.
So if I ask them for like custard every day at 6 a.m. before I go to practice, they're gonna say yes. They're gonna agree to that. You believe so?
If not, maybe you need a new agent. I don't know.
What was your reaction to the pins that your teammates gave you, though, man? They told me they gave you pins for your birthday.
At first, I didn't get it. Chris came in and gave me a pen, and I was like, well, what is this? I was thinking about it, and then I realized he wanted me to sign the contract. And he was just like, okay, I laughed the first time, I laughed the second time, the third time, and then I got like 20 pens. So then he got a little bit old. I got 20 pens in my locker room.
So, Jackie, in case you were wondering whether this is on the mind of any of the Bucks players themselves, apparently Giannis got 20 pens in his locker for his birthday. Do you think if Giannis chooses not to sign the Supermax extension, Jackie, that the Bucks will be able to overcome the constant questions and potential distraction here?
Well, I'm going to say yes to that, Rachel, only because one thing I've admired about Giannis, and let's be honest, this saga has been ongoing. It feels like almost since he got to Milwaukee. Once the season starts, he's really, really good about shutting it down. And if he's the kind of leader, which I think he is, I think he'll gather all his teammates and just say, this is Giannis's business. We're respecting his wishes and we're not talking about it. Easier said than done, I understand. I think what it does do is put a tremendous amount of pressure on the Bucks and the players around Giannis to make sure these guys go a very long way to a championship or maybe to a finals. I don't know if that's what gets it done. A lot of people keep saying to me, Why doesn't he just sign the deal? It's an $83 million difference than what other teams can give him. I think Giannis is the kind of player that says, if I sign that, I want to honor it from start to finish. And that's where I think the pause is. So I kind of admire the fact that he doesn't want to just take the money and then later on say, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, I think that, you know, ultimately Jackie's hitting the nail on the head. I think that Giannis is in a position right now where he can just focus on basketball and go out and compete. And what he's looking for are actions. I think the pen thing was funny and it was a good gag for the guys to do it. But he's going to be looking to see how his teammates step up. He knows that Bud is a straight shooter. Bud is always going to tell him what's going on. He's going to shoot from the shoulders. And the front office has done nothing to lose Giannis's trust. And so I think if they can continue to adapt this team around him, and Giannis is exactly right, is the type of guy that can focus in during the season and really lock in on winning, because that's what he's about. I think at the end of the day, we're going to see this thing play out the right way. Whether he stays or goes, I just think it's going to be handled correctly.
And look, we've seen it kind of fall both ways when a guy has a decision to make at the end of the year. Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors got asked about this day after day after day after day. While right. LeBron James was in the same situation with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he kind of said at the beginning of the season, I'm not going to talk about it. And really, he got asked about it very mildly a few times. But in general, it did not hang over the team in the same way, even though he did, of course, end up leaving. Fizz, we were talking on the show earlier this week. The fact that there aren't going to be fans in the stands for at least the beginning chunk of the season means that he's not going to be going from arena to arena and have people yelling at him saying, are you leaving? Come to us. You know, any of that stuff. So at least that part of the circus or distraction won't necessarily be there. And we'll just have to see again if he signs by December 21st. If he decides to kick the can down the road to the following season, to following offseason, to see if he wants to sign it then, we will find out. All right, I want to move on to Kevin Durant, though, because he said yesterday that he has been told to expect to play small forward while also spending some time at center for small ball lineups. Quote, coach is just going to throw me out there and see how I respond. So, Fizz, what are your thoughts on KD spending time at the five?
Well, I think it's smart. By doing that, he's going to end up getting all of his best skill players out on the floor. KD is 7 feet tall. I mean, this guy is a walking wingspan. He's a spider. I mean, he rebounds well. He's an over-the-top rebounder. If you try to put anybody out there on him that's not the right matchup, he's going to be an instant bucket. And it gives you versatility defensively to do some switching and things like that. So I think it's smart to keep all things on the table for that team. They got so many different weapons and pieces. And it also gives KD a chance sometimes to maybe not guard somebody as quick or somebody that's moving around as much as he continues to get his legs underneath him and really start to get his game back together. So it'll be interesting to see. I just know that that team is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and Fizz, I think we've seen a little bit of this before when KD was in Golden State. You know, the Golden State Warriors, when they ended up in the postseason, all of a sudden you didn't see Andrew Bogut or you didn't see JaVale McGee. They often went to a small ball, and you can argue whether Draymond Green was the five or KD was the five, but they were out there together. So this is nothing new for KD, and Coach Fizz is right. He has the versatility and the length to be able to do it. Now, I don't think they're going to ask him to guard Joel Embiid in the post for 30 minutes a game. I think you're right. But I think this makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Well, this is a better
NBA.
You got
to remember, too, Rach, remember, he's a shot blocker, too. Yeah. Remember, he was one of the top shot blockers in the league at Golden State. So it's not like he's just going to let you get anything you want at the rim, either.
Yeah, he led the league in shot blocking for much of his last season there. And as I started to say, the NBA is a better place with Kevin Durant playing in it. So wherever he wants to play on the floor, I want to watch. That's all I got for you. Coming up, guys, later on in the show, we're going to talk some Celtics. They made some changes this offseason, but did they actually improve the roster? That's coming up next as we give Boston our previously on treatment. Keep it locked. Welcome back to The Jump. You know, we're just 12 days away from the start of the 2021 NBA season, and you know what that means. The Jump's previously on segments are back. This is is like when your favorite TV show returns from hiatus. They catch up on everything that happened the last time you saw them. So now it's time for Previously On the Boston Celtics. All right, when we last saw the Celtics, they were on the losing end of that hard-fought six-game series against the Heat in the conference finals. That was the cliffhanger. Since then, Boston has made a bunch of roster changes. Gordon Hayward, Brad Wanamaker, Enes Kanter, all gone. But they brought in Jeff Teague, Tristan Thompson, and drafted Peyton Pritchard out of Oregon in the first round. So, Jackie, did the Celtics get better or worse this offseason? What do you think?
I can't honestly say the Celtics get better when Gordon Hayward walks away. He was the best facilitator on that team last year, Rachel. I understand why he left. He wanted a bigger role, but he was in an important role for their team. Now, does that mean that the Celtics don't have any place to go but down? That's where I say no, because Jason Tatum, I think, is on the verge of being a top 10 player. He might already be there already. We haven't even seen the best of Jaylen Brown yet, who I think has a chance to be one of the best two-way players in the game. And as you know, those are hard to come by. Yep. So they have great room for growth. But in the short term, the biggest question is Kemba Walker, of course. That stem cell injection keeps him out till, we think, January. That's a big, big question mark for them.
So I see it where, you know, they added a playmaker in Jeff Teague. They opened up opportunity for this young kid to come in and play right away. And the guy that I'm going to be looking at the hardest for the Boston Celtics is Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown is a first-team all-defender, and it's time for him to really put that stamp on the team. I like that he and Marcus Smart got into it last year. I think that's healthy sometimes to show how much it really matters to you. I think what we saw in Marcus Smart when he played extended minutes is that this guy is a big-time player, and he likes the spotlight. He's not going to shy away. He doesn't get sick at sea. And so the Jaylen Brown will be the guy that I'm really going to be watching to really fill that next void, that gap of guard everybody defender. Marcus Smart shouldn't have to be that guy all the time. I think he should be one of those guys. And if he is, we can end up seeing Boston make that jump into the dance and playing in the finals.
Well,
no, interesting point. Yeah. It is an interesting point. It is. And I you're right about Jaylen Brown. But you know what's funny, Coach? When you look at the defensive metrics, which are always tricky because they do skew kind of funny, Jason Tatum is an underrated defender as well. So you have two guys that have a chance to be really top two-way players.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so that's what...
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the juggle between Enes Kanter and Tristan Thompson, right? Tristan's probably a better defender. Enes is better offensively. Right. We don't know how that's going to play out. Hayward will definitely be missed. But I think bringing in an all-star guard, a former all-star in Teague, who makes plays for other people, can fill some of that void.
Yeah, they need the Minnesota Teague, not the Teague from last season who struggled a bit, right? I mean, no, and he can help them.
You're right.
They need a veteran. They need more veterans in that locker room. I liked the Teague signing. And Tristan Thompson obviously fills a void because they were thin up front. And Aaron Nesmith, don't sleep on him. They're expecting him. You know, they're short on wing players all of a sudden. And so they'll need him to, he'll get some minutes too. If he can shoot 50, he shot 52% from three in college. I think they'd take 42% right now. Just mark that down. They'll be happy.
All right. Well, Jackie,
twice
we heard in the, exactly. We heard in the
little
compilation, the previously on at the top, you groaning at me about Haywatch being back. I can say Haywatch has been officially canceled. The series is canceled in Boston.
Yes.
But I guess Tristan Thompson, he's his own reality show. So it's just going to keep going. Celtics definitely are must-see TV in so many ways. And here are the games fans are going to want to binge watch in the first half of the season. They open the season against the Bucks. Then they take on the Nets a couple days later on Christmas Day, both huge games. So if we focus in on that Christmas showdown, Fizz, what are you looking for most from a Boston point of view in that big showdown with the Brooklyn Nets?
I'm looking for a top defensive effort. I want to see them come out and put their stamp on it right away that they're going to be the best defensive team in the league. And like I said, I'm going to keep pointing at Jaylen Brown because I just think he's got so many gifts to impact the game defensively and to really, really change the course of the game in so many different ways. So I really want to watch that closely and watch the matchups throughout the course of the game to see how the coaches really play that chess match tit for tat because there's so much talent on the floor. We're just going to have a fun time watching guys make plays.
Yeah, you know, Rach, for me, I'm going to be looking at some of the young players because Kemba Walker obviously isn't going to play in that game. So Peyton Pritchard may get some minutes maybe ahead of what they expected. Maybe the same thing for Nesmith. I think Jeff Teague, he's going to be valuable because he'll be able to step in and take some of those minutes with Kemba along with Marcus Smart. But here's the funny thing. Think about it, guys. We thought Kyrie Irving playing against the Boston Celtics for the first time was going to be a huge storyline. Doesn't that seem like a lifetime ago? I mean, people even barely mention it. It's crazy how much has happened since then. Seriously. Yep.
But this will still be his first time playing in Boston.
It will.
As a Net, if he plays in that game. So finally, we're going to get to the spoiler alerts for the Celtics season. Caesars Sportsbook giving the Celtics the third best odds of winning the East behind the Bucks and the Nets, their first two opponents. So, Jackie, what's your bold prediction for the Celtics?
Well, Coach Fizz kind of stole my thunder. My prediction was going to be that Jaylen Brown will be an all-defensive player and an all-star because I think you and I are on the same page. With Gordon Hayward gone, Jaylen Brown has a chance for more shots, more minutes, more defensive assignments. He's going to be an all-star this year.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you look at that team, they were always trying to figure out the minute situation.
Right.
And trying to figure out how, you know, how to get these guys to all be on the floor and be happy. And I think with Hayward being out now, it really opens up that runway for this kid to take off. And I can't stress it enough. The Celtics are in position now to really build an identity around these guys, especially with the tough kid they're bringing in from Oregon. I think they're going to be a team to watch, and their defenses can really be special.
We will be keeping an eye, and so will everybody else on national television. You will see Boston a lot. All right, guys, up next on this show, as James Harden waits to clear COVID protocols, I will ask Jackie and Fizz how his Rockets teammates should feel about the way this season has started. John Wall spoke about James earlier today. Stick around to hear his thoughts next. And it's crunch time here on The Jump. Pau Gasol looking to return to the NBA, and he's targeting the Lakers. Jackie, do you think we'll see Pau back in a Lakers uniform alongside his brother this season?
I would love it. I love it when brothers play together. I'm still hoping Seth, the Curry brothers, get to play at some point together. But it's been a while for Pau. He's 40 years old. So I think it's going to be difficult, but I'm all for it because Pau Gasol is everything that's right with the NBA. I would love to have him back in the league.
Yeah, I think this would be perfect. He's a Laker. He's won championships with the Lakers. His brother is there. For them, I know what that would mean to Mark. And the fact that they got a chance to win titles together, I don't think his age is going to be a big factor because they're not going to be asking a lot of Pau. And they know what he brings as a professional, and he's going to keep himself ready if they need to put him in a game. But I just think the overall holistic view of it, I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. All right, I want to switch gears to the Warriors. Steph Curry said that having some time off after the Warriors' five-year run was useful. He said, starting from ground zero is kind of awesome. Fizz, do you think that the rest last season for Curry and the Warriors was better for them, in fact, than making another deep playoff run in the bubble if they weren't going to win it anyway in that scenario?
Absolutely. I think what you always end up seeing now is that when you have these dynasty teams, the thing that ends up ending the dynasty is injuries and cramps and things and age. And so I think having rest for Steph Curry to be able to take some time off, for Draymond Green to be able to take some time off, and now they're coming back to a team with some young talent, with some real athletes on the team. Obviously the Klay deal was a blow. I think it's gonna help them because they understand what it takes.
You know, Rachel and Fizz, I thought these comments were so interesting. And I think what it reminds us of is how hard it is to be on top. And we've heard this through the years with the Golden State Warriors, what a grind it was, how some years, even when they were winning, it wasn't particularly fun. It was daunting and challenging, and there was inside drama and outside drama. And so I think what Steph's saying here is, hey, let's get back to our roots. Let's just play ball. I love playing. I've missed it. I've been hurt. Let's start from scratch. They seem to love the young kid Wiseman. So it's just a very interesting take on his career.
Yeah. If you were at that NBA Finals, you saw just how drained everybody on that Warriors staff, everyone on the squad was at the end of that finals series. And look, we saw it again when we revisited the Last Dance season with the Bulls, right? And Scottie Pippen's been here on this set talking about just how wearing it is. Yep. And I can see where Steph's coming from. So we'll see how they do. Let's get back to the Houston situation because James Harden will not be cleared to play until he tests negative for COVID 6 times. To say Harden has been a distraction, that might be putting it mildly. He's requested a trade. He's been partying in Atlanta and Las Vegas while the team tries to integrate a new coach, new players. Here's what John Wall had to say today.
I talked to him the other day. He said he came in and got his test. He came in, had a good workout with Coach John Lucas. And that's all I can say. That's all he talked about. We didn't really talk about too much more. We had a relationship of being friends before basketball. And whatever he's going through, he'll get through it and make the decision what's best for him. And I think the front office will do the same.
So classy there from John Wall. John Wall has now had to talk about this. Stephen Silas, PJ Tucker. Jackie, if you were one of Harden's teammates who are the ones who have been answering public questions about this, how would you feel right now?
I'd feel pretty exhausted, and I haven't even played a game yet. And it seems a little unfair, obviously, to the guys who were there, especially when all the ruckus about Daniel House breaking COVID protocol in the bubble, and now James Harden's just literally flaunting the COVID recklessness. But I will say this, I've learned one thing covering this league all these years. Talent always trumps temperament. If they help you win, the players will forgive you. They want to win, and James Harden is one of the most unique offensive players. He'll help them do that.
Yeah, I mean, the players always know a lot more about what's going on than everybody else. I mean, they're close to him. You heard John Wall said he talked to him. So the locker room always knows what's up. I think players are used to this business now that there are breakups and things like this happen and relationships need to move on. So I don't know how badly they're taking this. I think they know that he's not bought into what's being done right now. And obviously, Coach Silas has a tough job, but his job is just to keep those guys focused. He can't get concerned with all of the stuff that's going on from between the front office and James and coach the team that he has. And hopefully it gets over sooner than later.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's it for us today. I want to shout out our director, Kathy. It's her 10-year anniversary at ESPN. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Woo, Kathy.